baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goes, our ace co-host on a Sunday, Goes. We were just too anxious over all the MMA that took place that we needed to come in here and try something new, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. When you think of all the organizations involved, and that's without other professional sports beating down on your door, it's a ton to get through.
It is, and we're gonna blast through it all. Of course, our big focus is going to be UFC Tampa with Joanna Jędrzejczyk defeating Michelle Waterson, Cub Swanson taking care of business with Kron Gracie. But we will go over a couple quick big results at ONE Championship, Bellator, and even a result or two from Ryzen. And of course, we'll cover this past week's PFL card. That was on Friday, but it almost feels like it was three days ago.
Blur, right?
Yeah, for sure. We got four fighters, four fighters that'll be angling to win $1 million. And of course, we'll cover all the latest news nuggets from the sport of mixed martial arts. So buckle up, folks. Here we go. This is the only show that matters.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. All right, Joanna Jędrzejczyk defeated Michelle Waterson, Goes, over five. Well, first of all, she won two fights, one versus the scale. We were here last Thursday saying, well, what's going to happen? Let's just let it play out at this point. It did. She made weight. Props to her. She's never missed it. But that whole scare, all that drama, it was all for naught. 36 hours later, she fought Michelle Waterson to a decision, but it was pretty unanimous. We got 50-45, 50-45, and 49-46. Thoughts on the fight?
I had a problem describing this fight earlier because a buddy of mine hadn't seen the fight and he asked me, how did it break down? And when I told him what the scores were, it made it sound like one fighter ran away with it. And Joanna didn't really run away with it. She was in control, but she was getting popped too. The problem was Michelle Waterson never gave you anything that made you think this fight could come to an end if she keeps doing that. She would take her back every once in a while, but really, I mean, I think it was just us hoping something like that would happen to liven up the fight. But I don't think Joanna was in trouble at any time. But Michelle was landing. It just wasn't enough.
Right. When Joanna landed, her punches seemed to have more damage. Mm-hmm. She also landed more types of strikes. So it almost looked like she was putting on a clinic. It's just that everything she was throwing was effective. Her kicks, her elbows, the clinch work, and then the punches themselves. And then, of course, Joanna with that, those little grunts, just almost makes it sound like she's putting on the show. But mm-hmm. Michelle Waterson did fight back. A couple head kicks landed, a couple punches landed, but not in the volume of what Joanna was doing. Now, that said, there were two rounds where she was able to get the fight either in a clinch or what I'm getting at is the back takes were very, very important because on both back takes, she got her hooks in and she was able to threaten with a rear naked choke. Now, the first one it looked like was a lot closer. It's just she never really got under the chin, it appeared. Then it looked like maybe a crossface was there. But those, you know how you were talking about, at least as a fan, you want a tense moment where you feel like, hey, can this underdog who was like plus 300 compared to the favorite, like minus 420, can she do something here? We got a couple of those moments, but in the end, I think we know that this was just kind of one-way traffic.
Yeah, you want to feel like the fight was competitive, right? It's supposed to be. That's the, otherwise, why would they put them in the same cage together? So you want those moments. She gave you a couple here and there, but really it was Ioana just one step ahead in every part of that fight.
That reach, man, killed it. Okay, look, of course, I always own up. Watterson was just someone I felt like had some pop, but I thought she could be dangerous on a back take situation. So I'm glad that that moment happened a couple times. But again, I think I was very clear, very blunt. Hey, look, if my life depends on it, you putting a gun to my head, I would have taken Ioana, no problem. I just like to gamble. I love to gamble the underdogs. And Watterson gave me those moments. It was almost there. Oh, well. But one thing that pissed me off was Watterson, the reach disadvantage, I just thought she played that hand wrong. She had this, you know, that front kick that mm-hmm. was missing by a mile, goes. I could have driven my Audi 2017 between her foot and Joanna's body. I don't know why she kept going to it. Like, it was just a waste of energy. It was a waste of a strike that wasn't amounting to anything. I thought she just could have thrown more 1-2s, honestly, more Hail Marys.
Well, she was throwing it south to north. It was the strangest thing. Like, it wasn't what you're used to seeing, like, from Anderson Silva, right?
Right.
It was more, like, straight up almost. And, it just wasn't making any sense.
She was, like, pulling it back, too. Like, almost mm-hmm. pulling it back before it would even, like, extend. You know what I mean? It was, I don't know.
I think it was more like a threat, you know? But
yeah, I hear you. Look, Ioana, now let's get to her, because Watterson, she's coming off a 3-5 win streak. I'm sure she'll get another credible opponent. Okay, cool. But Ioana, she's campaigning for this title. She's acting like it was in her contract. This is that. For one, those things never hold up. You know, I mean, I guess it would have to officially be written in Dana White's blood in a contract for that to happen. But how many times have we heard that before? Do you feel like she really has a shot at Weili Zhang? Or what about Tatiana Suarez is undefeated? You know what I mean? And then we still have the other young ladies that have been champions since Joanna's been champion, Rose Namajunas and Jessica Andrade. What about them?
It doesn't make sense. I get why she's doing it. I think you have to stay relevant. I thought the Michelle Watterson win was good. She was dominant in it. And I think Michelle Watterson carries a good enough name where there's value to the win, especially the way she won the fight. But yeah, it's not enough.
Cub Swanson defeated Crone Gracie 30-27, 30-27, 30-27. But Crone Gracie thinks he won. I don't want to spend too much time on that. I want to spend more time on what did you think of Cub, the game plan, all that.
I think Cub was fighting Frankenstein. Crone Gracie would just not go away. He'd just keep coming forward. Like, when do you ever see Cub Swanson get backed down by anyone? He's usually setting the pace. It was a very strange fight. I don't think he was expecting Crone Gracie to really fight that way. I think it was the first time that Cub Swanson really, really stuck to a game plan. His boxing training came in handy a lot because he was able to kind of use the footwork to get in and out of situations. He was never really in a situation where he was just giving away takedowns to Crone or even the attempts. Like, if Crone was going to do it, he was going to have to do it in the center of the cage, and I thought that was brilliant on Cub's part. And then at the end, I mean, you see how much that victory meant to him. He really needed it. I don't think he's a guy that he even with four losses would get cut because he does everything Dana White wants. He comes forward. He puts on a good fight. He's a fan favorite. But he really needed that win.
Did you hear it was either his coach, Joel Diaz from the boxing world, or Juan Archuleta? One of them told him, like, in the third round, discipline, motherfucker. And you could hear ESPN kind of cut that out. It got real quiet. And I think it's because when they were kind of, like, clinched up, Cub was uppercutting, and a couple times he was tempted to go to the ground. And even Cub admitted so in the post-fight ESPN interview, like, hey, let's see what you got, you know. But could that have – that could have easily also been Cub's downfall, you know. I really love the game plan. I love the game plan, and I thought he was fighting a beautiful fight. He was getting a little bit tired. But goes, I was yelling at it because I bet on Swanson. I'm an underdog player. And I was like, just get out of there. Like, I didn't want their bodies even touching. Just touch his face, like Quentin says, you know. Just touch his face and move. And he was doing a great job mixing up the body, some leg kicks. But a couple of those kicks were a little bit lazy when they were starting to get tired. And if Crone catches one and gets the fight to the ground, I'm telling you, the problem with Cub is much respect. You got a black belt. I get it. You're a veteran. I get it. WEC, UFC, bonuses. I get it. You're legit. But Cub has been susceptible to submissions, and all Chrome Gracie needs is an opportunity, man. This guy, you think Brian Ortega is legit? Doing. Chrome Gracie's an Abu Dhabi medalist, you know, a gold medalist, son of the legendary Hickson Gracie. So, yeah, he was playing with a little bit of fire, but, hey, he got the job done. He did what he needed to do back in the win column, and they shared a bonus. So, great, great night for Cub Swanson.
I mean, they've grappled before, so at least Cub knows, all right, this is kind of how I stand up to his jiu-jitsu, but MMA is just so different. It's a different beast. But you're right. Why even go there? The one thing I wish Cub would have done was gotten just a little bit street. I know that sucks because we always talk about professionalism, and I thought he said all the right things. But, hey, I've lived in Orange County. It sucks. If you add 5 minutes to my commute, distance-wise, that can translate into, like, 30 minutes, right, because of all the traffic. So his inability to get into some gyms just because they were back in a Gracie, man, I probably would have thrown a little bit of some kind of a jab at Gracie.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Something at the end, you know.
Nico Price defeated James Vick. And it's not so much the result I want to talk about. I want to talk about James Vick. This is four that he's lost in a row. This guy was, I think he won either 7 of 8 or 8 in a row or something like that as a lightweight. He was on the map, but he's come up short against some of these upper echelon guys. But again, the viciousness of some of these KOs, man, this is a serious thing. He got caught with an upkick here, and he was in a dominant position. Not dominant like traditional sense of taking someone's back or mounting them, but still, he was on top, and I thought he was about to throw some ground and pound at Nico Price. Instead, Nico Price upkicks him, and boom, Vic was out.
It's bad luck, because I think a strike like that would probably, I wouldn't say it put everyone out, but it put a lot of people out. I mean, hit him right on the chin, right on the button that we're always talking about. So it's not like something you can point to game planning or camps or anything like that. It was just a freak accident. Sucks that it happened to a guy that's had these type of things happen to him. But really, when you think about the guys that he's fought and the guys that have done this to him, pretty tough cats. James just needs to go away for a while and really just relax. He's got a new kid, you know, so like maybe this is a good time to just hang out with him and focus on your businesses and all that. But right now he needs to stay away from MMA.
Amanda Ribas versus Mackenzie Dern. That fight was fun.
It was good.
First of all, shout out to Mackenzie Dern. She became a mom 4 months ago. The weight cut, which has plagued her in the past, no problem. She showed up on a Monday of fight week at 120, we heard. Her weight cut went easy. She made weight. Her striking's gotten a lot better. She also is as decorated as Chrome Gracie. Again, she's competed at very, very high levels. And Amanda Ribas has also got great jiu-jitsu, but not that level. But Amanda Ribas has some hands, goes, what a jab.
I thought it was interesting that Mackenzie didn't have any weight issues. The only thing I can think of is, being younger, you know, you're used to, you're kind of selfish and you fight for yourself. Now she's fighting for a family, right? She's got a kid. Maybe that was what put her over the edge and made her disciplined. But Amanda Ribas, about 3 years ago, I won't say who, but somebody came in the studio and goes, this girl's going to be awesome. And that always stuck in my head. That's why I picked her in this fight. She is showing that she's going to be a player, I think, for years to come. That was a great performance.
Didn't her striking look like she could hang with Joanna?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to see that someday?
Hell yeah.
Me too. Matt Frivola defeated Luis Pena. Eric Anders defeated Gerald Meerschaert, both by split decision. Did you agree? And what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought Frivola won. I thought it was a close fight.
I thought Pena was more damaging.
I thought he was pretty cool. Post-fight remarks, you know, very classy.
Pena?
Yeah, Pena.
I didn't hear him. Okay.
And then when we get to PFL, we'll talk about class too there.
Yeah. Here's some other winners. Ryan Spann, Mike Davis, Alex Morano, Davison Figueredo, Marlon Vera, Miguel Baeza, Marvin Vittori, JJ Aldridge. It was a long day of fights, man. It was a long week of fights. Anything there that stands out you want to touch on?
Yeah, I was kind of vested in the Marvin Vittori fight. What's happening now is, like you said, there's Ryzen, there's Bellator, there's PFL, there's WWE, there's UFC. You really need to captivate my attention. And Marvin Vittori, his little beef, was just enough to make me say, I got to see this. I got to see how this plays out. So props to him. And even some of the stories that we did, we went to Mike Tyson's ranch where we talked about him. He was one of the guys that we talked to. He just makes it fun. And his style is fun.
Yeah, I agree. I want to touch on Davison Figueredo. Impressive win over Tim Elliott. Elliott had almost gone 2 years without fighting. And he submitted Tim Elliott pretty quickly there in round one. He held on to that choke a little bit too long, And look, again, he may apologize and bow and all that. It was just too long. And the referee was telling you, let go, and he didn't. Now, that said, I'm not saying, hey, look, tar and feather the guy. But here's the next thing. He says, how about me and Joe B for an interim? I'm like, no, Joe, that's Joe B's shot. Mm-hmm. I get it, Davidson. You know, you're in the running. You just happen to be in a spot, much like Joanna behind Tatiana Suarez, where you're on a roll, but someone else is on a roll. They're just on a better roll right now. I think Joe B versus Henry Cejudo makes sense. He's got the win over Henry Cejudo. He's got a ton of flyweight wins over a ton of great fighters. He's just kind of in the lead. Figueredo took a loss to Pantoja later than the Benavidez loss to Pettis. Benavidez bounced back, so did Figueredo. But I think Henry Cejudo needs to come back to the flyweight division. That's the division he left to go fight at bantamweight. He's got to give one or the other up. But if he plans on being a frequent flyer, you know, and fight often, then he needs to come back to flyweight first. And the match to make is Joseph Benavidez. Then he needs to go back to bantamweight and do something there, because Peter Yan, Aljamain Sterling, those guys are like, bitch, you better do something here. You know what I mean? That's why I think the best thing that for Cejudo to do is probably just give one of the two up, honestly.
I mean, I kind of agree with you. I feel Henry Cejudo when he says, look, man, I've been pretty active. You know, he caught an injury, and that's probably the only thing that's holding him back from fighting. So if there's ever a guy that you can maybe trust to pull something like this off, it would be him. We'd have to see when he comes back. I think, like, I feel like he has to address the flyweight division first. But if he can just turn that around, I don't see why not just let him roll with it.
Yeah, if he can come back and do it, okay.
He has good credit with me, in other words.
Okay. Well, I just don't think we need an interim title. I think there's a spot for them, but in this instance, I don't think we need it. I think we are hearing that Cejudo is going to be back early 2020. Benavidez should get that shot. Figueredo should just get another stud at 125. And on the same card as Cejudo and Benavidez, you know I love those insurance fights. Put them on there, and that's that. Marlon Vera, however, he is no longer kind of like a mid-card guy. He's becoming a contender, man. He looks good. How about his big, bushy head of hair, too?
Yeah.
Just completely had a different look. I had to say, who's who? But, yeah, Marlon Vera, man, impressive.
Yeah, there's actually a lot going on in his home country of Ecuador right now, too. I think Marlon's big thing has just been consistency, really. And once he dials that in, he has the charisma. You know, he can speak the language. I love that kid. I want to see him fight more.
50,000 bonus in bonuses went to Cub Swanson and Crone Gracie. Nico Price and Marlon Vera picked up 50 as well. So one was fight of the night, and the other two were performances of the night. We had 10,597 in attendance, and the gate was almost 900,000. Now, back to something here real quick. Thomas Gifford and Mike Davis, we had an incident here where that fight, many people, and I'm talking about like journalists and fans, everybody that's on Twitter, other fighters, were saying this fight should have been stopped a lot sooner. I think the commission of Florida agreed with us. They actually took the referee off a subsequent bout that he was supposed to ref, and they inserted Herb Dean. But what did you think of that lack of a ref stoppage? Because that was a vicious KO on Thomas Gifford, on a very, very damaged Thomas Gifford prior to that KO.
It was rough to watch. I feel like where the referee really failed was letting him get up off the stool. I think that was his corner's moment to stop the fight, and I thought it was definitely the referee should have been watching that situation, thinking, if you guys aren't going to do it, I'm going to have to do
it. So not even let him get off the stool?
No, because there were times during the fight where it seemed like it was a good opportunity to step in and stop a fight, but then something would happen and it would just, like, you know, all it takes is like one swing back or something that gains you like another 5 seconds, another 10 seconds. And those type of things kept happening here and there. I think the referee could have done it, but I do understand at certain moments you just can't. I think it comes down to inexperience with sometimes when you go to these places that don't have a regular high level mixed martial arts. You can get that with some of these referees, and it is the toughest job in the world, but that doesn't excuse you from doing some of these type of things. So I'm glad that the commission did their part, you know, in kind of benching him a little bit. But I really think the opportunity was missed at the end of the round.
You wouldn't say defusing bombs is a tougher job than refereeing MMA?
Because like half of them, aren't they just backpacks?
Okay.
Bananas.
Just thought I'd ask. Right. Look, I thought the referee should have taken control as soon as the fight started and they had a couple exchanges. And once again, you could just see Davis was superior and Gifford was too damaged to compete. Because once they came off the stool, I think it was more on the corner. But once, because otherwise, why even wait? At that point, you might as well have stopped it once the round was over before they even got to the corner. I feel like once you release them to the corner and either a doctor has seen them, or if you have concern, put the doctor in there. But if you're saying basically, hey, here's your corner, go back to your corner, and you've given them a minute to sit with the corner, I don't see what the point would be of, oh, he got off the stool, now I'm stopping. I would have just walked to the corner saying, I'm stopping it now, you know what I mean? Or why even let it get to the end of the round? I guess you're feeling like you've already taken too much damage, I'm just going to stop it. So I felt like once he got up and he went out there and you could see it was still the same, it should have just been the end right there. Now, look, I'm only seconds behind what you're saying. But either way, I felt like it – I think the corner could have done it prior – at the end of the round. Especially when you saw the kid just walking with a glazed look, to the stool. And I thought the referee should have done it. It was really, really sad, man, to see.
Yeah, even seeing the pictures the next day. And, man, granted, I guess it's good news saying that he's cleared all his scans and all that. But it was definitely a rough thing to watch.
Yeah. Look, there was a lot of MMA. So let's turn the page a little bit. But there's basically UFC Tampa for you there. It was a great card. And again, shout out to our team. I thought it was great coverage all week. But now it's time to talk some other non-UFC promotions like Bellator, Ryzen, ONE Championship, PFL. Here we go. We'll go in order, guys. So PFL took place on Friday here at Mandalay Bay, by the way, where elegance and excitement meet on the Las Vegas Strip. PFL playoffs. One, we have Kayla Harrison, Larissa Pacheco, who came off wins, and now they're going to meet in the finals. And we have Ray Cooper III versus David Michaud. They're the ones that were able to win twice in one night and go on. So quick thoughts on a little summary on those four.
I think if you asked people at the beginning of the night how all that would have played out, they wouldn't have had it that way. I mean, a lot of surprises that night and some good fights. It was fun overall. We were in attendance. Mm-hmm. They had a nice big crowd there. Half of them were Hawaiian, I think. It was a great night.
Yeah, no doubt. Michaud, I mean, he toughed his way there. You know what I mean? So respect to him. Cooper, of course, had that beautiful KO over Chris Curtis, but I know many of you are going, wait a minute, didn't Curtis lose to Magomed Karimov? He did. Karimov could not continue, so they basically chose the guy that he defeated in Chris Curtis to find his mouthpiece in his cup and go out there. Chris Curtis had retired after losing that match. They give him a second chance. He go out there, and he got iced by Ray Cooper III. Look, it was exciting. It was a great KO, but, man, it was tough to watch, especially just in knowing that dude, think about it, what he did goes, he went out there. He tried to fight a guy that had beaten him in the regular season. He came up short. He retired. He's thinking, that's it. Like, your mind is probably like, I can just let go of MMA and think about what I'm going to do next. Oh, wait, now I'm fighting again? All right, cool. Boom. Oh, now what? I'm in an ambulance because some guy just floored me and knocked me the hell out. That's got to be tough on Chris Curtis. My heart goes out to that guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of things that you do, and when you fail at them, there's like a finality to it. I can think of it as like maybe taking your driver's test, and they tell you, hey, you failed. You know for a fact they're not going to see you for at least a month. But then for them to, as you're walking back to your dad's car or whatever, and then go, you want to take it again? Like that mindset to just be able to flip it and just try it again and then fail again in an even worse way, you know, like get into a car crash in the middle of the test or something. That had to have been rough on that kid, man. But props for him for actually coming out and doing it, having that mindset of retiring and then coming out and having that happen and then, you know, having to be taken out the way he was. It was rough, but at least he tried.
Do you think it was the worst thing in the world? I know Sarah Kaufman versus Kayla Harrison was supposed to be the featured finals for PFL, but Larissa Pacheco fought a fun fight. Like, did she get over on Kaufman's name? Like, do you think people are going, all right, I'm in on Larissa Pacheco, she looked good, props to her?
It depends. I think if the hardcores, they're looking at it, they're saying, okay, you know, she looked decent in the first fight and she's showing improvements in her game now. But I think the casual fan is like, why am I tuning in? She just already beat her. I already saw that. I want to see Sarah Kaufman, the veteran, right? Get her shot. And I would say, well, at least maybe next year there's a good build up to something like that. But Sarah Kaufman in her post fight interviews kind of alluded to, well, hopefully I can get, you know, a fight at my natural weight class. So she's already kind of alluding to size may have been a little bit of a problem in her fight. So I don't even know that you'll get that next year.
Well, they don't have that division.
Yeah.
So would that mean going back to the UFC or somewhere else, Bellator? I don't know. Kaufman.
But just because they don't have it in tournament format doesn't mean, or season format, doesn't mean that they just can't do a one-off, right?
I suppose, yeah. If she's happy with PFL and they can guarantee her two fights, sure. That's mm-hmm. what Brandon Lochnane had. Shout out to him. He's the kid that was not given a contract in season 3 of Dana White Contender Series. And remember, he was week one, the controversial figure. I think everyone but him got it. Is that how it worked? I forget how it was. He went
for the takedown.
Yeah. He went for the takedown, and everybody was like, come on, Dana White, let him have it. So, of course, he came to the PFL. He got a win. I think this guy can become a big star for PFL. Good mm-hmm. for him. Over at Bellator, Vadim Nemkov defeated Rafael Cordeiro, submission round 2. Thoughts on that fight? That was their main event there for Bellator 230.
You know, they just make it so difficult for you to sit down and watch it. And really,
it was a tape delay, too.
Yeah, even when you do watch it, there's not much of a story being told. It's just a fight.
And if there is, because it's not like Bellator doesn't spend money, and it's not like they don't do great job with their video. It's just who has the time to see all of it? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But I think Carvalho, look, he was a champ at middleweight and going up. Kudos. But those are some big boys, and Ryan Bader is an even bigger boy. You know what I mean? So
I love Bellator, but you're fighting for my time.
Bellator Europe 5, Manhoff versus Bahati. Manhoff gets the win. He's like 42, goes. Speaking of KOs, he suffered some pretty vicious ones. I just hold my breath, and I don't want him. If he loses, I just don't want him to get KO'd.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Actually, I think I picked against him. He was part of one of the loudest KOs I've ever heard in my life, and that was the Joe Schilling fight. Remember that? We were in the back.
Oh, that's right.
And we could hear that smack. Like, what the hell was that? And then you hear the crowd scream. That was rough.
Yeah, for sure. Ryzen, Patricky Frady defeated Tatsuya Kawajiri in the lightweight Grand Prix opening round. He had that flying 90 knockout. So that's a familiar name. He got a win. Keita Nakamura, he got himself a win. TKO stoppage there. Johnny Case, he got a win. He's part of the Grand Prix opening round as well. He advances. And in the main event, Jiri Prochaska defeated Fabio Maldonado. Because I think I'm done with Maldonado, man. He's another guy that is just taking a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not trying to stop him from getting a paycheck, but enough's enough, right?
Yeah. I mean, but I don't understand why that's got to come from us. You know, there's definitely people around him that should be saying these type of things. He should be cognizant enough to know these things as well. We don't want to see these things happen in our sport. You know, one day something really bad's going to happen, but we don't want to see it all happen all the time. In boxing, it's almost on the regular.
Agreed. One championship goes. I told you it was a busy weekend. Ong Lesang defeated Brandon Vera. Vera was trying to be a champ over there. Of course, Brandon Vera put in a lot of time in the UFC. He's now their heavyweight champ, but he's trying to get a belt here. Came up short. Shinny Aoki got a win. So sad that he never made it to the UFC. He's UFC caliber, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But he's making money. He got a first-round submission. Bibiana Fernandez defeated his belt. He got a win as well. Mei Yamaguchi was another popular name that got a belt out at one championship. This was their biggest card of the year.
It had its moments. It was fun. You know, Brandon Vera is a huge star out there, and for him to get stopped that way, he got hit with a massive spinning elbow, and I thought he was toast, and he actually turned around and threw one himself, and then he kind of missed on it a little bit. But then the subsequent shots, and, you know, in one championship, when you're on the ground, you can take knees to the head. So that was a decent result, and then seeing Johnny Cates get his victory Demetrius Johnson, he dominated, but he was just, I don't know how to put it. Like, it wasn't something where you go, wow, he beat the crap out of that guy. He was just one step ahead the whole fight.
Like playing with his food.
It was like playing with his food.
Yeah. Look, the Lee siblings, they got wins. Christian Lee.
That was cool.
Yeah, Angela Lee.
Angela got hers in the fifth round.
Adam Waite title. Yeah, fifth round stoppage there. Christian Lee, unanimous decision in the lightweight Grand Prix. And of course, like you mentioned now, Demetrius Johnson can hold up another belt. And very impressive, but it's just, I don't know if he's getting paid well. God bless him. But I still feel like as a competitor, as a guy that was mixing it up with the best, you had the trilogy waiting for the UFC. In the UFC here with Cejudo. And I don't know. It just seemed like that was his home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like that's him. He's just one of those guys that I think he flips a switch and now he's a fighter. But the second the fight's done, he just goes back to being a regular dude.
Yeah, for sure. Look, all right, this week is UFC Boston. So we'll definitely be back for that. And we'll give a preview of that one. And of course, we'll cover all the latest news from the week. We're going to accumulate a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff's been going down or is going down. So definitely keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week. Also, don't forget, we have Twitters and Instagram handles. Follow us there at MMA Junkie George for me, at The Goes for Goes, at MMA Junkie Radio for the show. And give us a holler. Give us a review, you know, especially if you listen on iTunes. Those 5 stars, man, they mean a lot. So anyway, again, thanks always for your support. And we are out of here. Go out there, folks. Be a champion.